our deeds. He whom Allah guides, no one will lead astray, and he whom He leads astray, no one will guide. And I bear witness that there is no God but Allah alone, with no companions. And I bear witness that Muhammad is His servant and messenger. Inshallah, we will continue explaining the book of Al-Iman al-Awsat, or the middle book of faith, or the book of the best of faith by Shaykh Hassan Zaymi al-Adullah. And since we only have four sessions remaining, and we were left with quite a bit of the book, inshallah, we will try to abbreviate our elaboration on the book, especially that Shaykh Hassan bin Taymiyyah repeats a lot of points several times to in order to reinforce the meaning. And so that will help us, inshallah, to abbreviate what's left and to make it more concise, inshallah. The last time we stopped, where he said that now if we know that iman, or faith that is in the heart, whether it's believing or love or all the other heartly works, has to lead to the visible forms of worship.
الصالحة فهذه هي استلزمها ما في القلب. قال كما أن القصد التام مع القدرة.
And if we know that full intention with full ability has to lead to to the deed happening.
إرادة جازمة لفعل شيء وهو قادر على فعله فالعادة أنه يفعل هذا الشيء طالما عنده إرادة جازمة لفعله وقدرة على فعله أنه يفعله.
Now that applies to everything in life. As long as we have the full intention to do something, and we've got the ability to do it, then it is only natural, and it's only a natural consequence that we will do it. And just as just like that applies to everything, it applies to faith and the works that happen as a result of faith. Now the Shaykh of Islam is talking about the relationship between the visible forms of faith or visible acts of faith, the relationship between that and what's in the heart. Now, as we explained before, people of Sunnah al-Jama'ah say that the works of faith, the visible works of faith are part of faith. Murji'ah say it's not part of faith. You're not less faithful if you don't do any of them, but it's a consequence of faith. Now, the difference here is that the people of Sunnah al-Jama'ah say that it's part of faith, not merely a consequence. And to understand and to be able to go beyond this difference and to understand it, we have to understand that sometimes some words include each other when they're mentioned separately or in separate contexts, and sometimes they are differentiated when they're mentioned in the same sentence or in the same context. So when the word faith or iman is mentioned on its own, then it will include everything. Everything in the heart and everything that our hands and our feet does.
هل هو جزء منه داخل في مسمى أو هو لازم للإيمان. معلول له وثمرة له.
This is what he's gonna answer here is, are the works of faith part of faith or are they consequences of faith?
يصبح الايه او اجتمع الايمان والعمل الصالح بالنسبه لقوله تعالى امنوا وعملوا الصالحات. اذا اجتمع الايمان والاسلام او الايمان والعمل الصالح في نفس النص
الله سبحانه وتعالى frequently mentions in the Quran the phrase those who believe or those who keep faith and do good deeds. Now, when it's mentioned that way, the word keep faith in this context, because it was mentioned separately from or because it was mentioned with the works in one sentence, then the word faith here means what's in the heart.
إذا اجتمع في نص واحد افترق في المعنى. يصبح ما معنى الإيمان هنا؟ القلبية الباطنة، الإيمان اللي هو ما في القلب، والإسلام هو إيه؟ الظاهر، الأعمال الصالحة.
The same goes for Islam and Iman. If Islam is, if Islam and Iman are mentioned together in one sentence, then the word Islam would mean the visible works of worship, and the word Iman would mean what caused them within the people's hearts or the faithful's hearts. Now, to bring evidence to the fact that Iman does include works, Rasulullah ﷺ said that Iman or faith is made of 70 something branches, the highest of which is saying La ilaha illallah, which is something visible, and the lowest of which is removing harmful things from people's way. And so that's also a deed, it's something that you do. But Rasulullah ﷺ included it in the definite or in the within Iman or faith. In both those things, saying La ilaha illallah and removing harmful things from people's way are both visible things. They're not heartening things.
وقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم الإسلام أن تشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا رسول الله وتقيم الصلاة.
When the angel Jibril came to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم and asked him about Islam and then asked him about Iman and then asked him about Ihsan, notice here that Iman and Ihsan, Iman and Islam came together in the same context, so there had to be a differentiation that was drawn, and that's how Rasulullah ﷺ answered Jibreel alayhi salam. He answered that Iman is what you believe, to bear witness that there is no God but Allah,
Iman
is to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His angels and the prophets and the books and the day of judgment and destiny, whether good or bad. And he explained how Islam is to say La ilaha illallah and to believe and to say that Muhammad is Rasulullah and to perform prayers and fast and perform pilgrimage and to give charity. Zakah. And so, because they were mentioned together, because they were mentioned together, a differentiation was drawn. The opposite is true when the word Islam is mentioned on its own. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna deena indallah Islam, or the religion in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's. The religion, as far as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned, is Islam. Now, this obviously means that Islam would include the entirety of the religion.
And Allah
also says, and whoever seeks other than Islam a religion, it will not be accepted from him. Of course, here the word Islam included, for sure, it will have to include the insight or what you believe in your heart. And so here, Islam, because it was mentioned alone in its own context, it meant and included everything.
قال ولكن قولوا أسلمنا ولما يدخل الإيمان في قلوبكم.
Now, on the other hand, examples of context when things, when Islam and Iman are mentioned together is the verse that we discussed a few sessions ago about the hypocrites, when they said, we are faithful, Allah says to them, do not say that you're faithful, say that you are Muslims, but faith has not gotten into your hearts yet. Now, here, because they're both the word Muslim and the word Mu'min, or Islam and Iman, are mentioned together, then the meaning would be for Iman to be the inside works of faith, or the beliefs and the emotions that you have, and Islam would be what you show or what you display, all the forms of worship, and the good deeds that you do.
وصفهم الله تعالى بالإيمان لأن الذين أخرجوا من القرية ونجاهم الله هم المؤمنون وأما الذين وجدوا في بيت لوط عليه السلام فهم مسلمون لأنهم
Another example is
وقوله تعالى إن المسلمين
والمسلمات والمؤمنين
والمؤمنات هنا
The Muslims and the Mu'mineen, the Muslims and the Mu'mineen, men and women, etc., etc., in one verse. This here means this here means that there is a differentiation to be drawn. And another example which we've also talked about in earlier sessions is the word faqir and the word miskin, or poor and needy, if we can translate them as such, because translating such words sometimes is not very accurate. Now, faqir and miskin, if they're mentioned together in one context, the word faqir would mean someone who doesn't even have enough to live his daily life, and miskin would mean someone who does have something that is enough to sustain him, but not enough to but not enough for much else. But if they're now, if they're mentioned separately, if the word faqir is mentioned and there's no mention of the word miskin in sight, then faqir would mean both kinds, and the same goes for miskin. It would mean both kinds if it was mentioned alone. Now the same goes with words like fahsha and munkar and baghi. They're all forms of bad things, bad deeds. When they're mentioned together, fahsha would mean the kinds of sin that are of particular gravity. They're really grave. Munkar is Munkar would mean, if it's mentioned together with fahsha and baghi in one context, it would mean the lesser forms of sin. And baghi is to transgress against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, when they're mentioned separately, for example, munkar, if it's mentioned, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who enjoin good and forbid bad, or munkar. Munkar here would mean everything, all kinds of sin, all kinds of things that are not helpful or beneficial, or things that are sinful. Now, Sheikh Islam says that this is not unique to Arabic, that you'll find a lot of sayings that if they're mentioned on their own, they will have a wider meaning. And when they're mentioned together, there would be a differentiation drawn. An example here would probably be like in English the words good and godly. Anything that is good, if you mention the word good separately, it would mean everything that's good. And if you mention godly separately, then it would mean everything that's good as well, because they would include each other. But if you mention them together in one context, the word godly may mean things that are particularly higher, have higher religious quality than just good. So, now the Sheikh Islam Taymiyyah is discussing a different matter, which is the matter of majaz. Majaz is like metaphor or
واستعمال المجاز له الأسد بمعنى الرجل الشجاع. يقولون هذا استعمال الأسد بمعنى الحيوان المفترس حقيقة بمعنى الرجل الشجاع هذا إيه مجاز. لكن لا نحمله على معنى المجاز إلا إذا وجد قليلا.
Metaphor or analogy.
الأسد يقصد به المعنى.
For example, the word asad or lion can be used to describe a lion, a real lion, the animal, or it can be used to describe, for example, a brave man. Now, you know what you're talking about, or what the author or the talker is talking about, by looking at the context. Now, some of the murji'a say that works that when you come up with texts from the Quran or from the Sunnah saying showing that works are part of faith, then that is only mentioned metaphorically. It's not for real. It's not to be taken seriously. The Sheikh Islam is replying to them. And he's using two arguments to as rebuttal. He's saying, firstly, he's saying that
faith.
Now, it's better to say that iman includes everything, works and beliefs. But when it's mentioned separately, or when it's mentioned in context that would appear to mean that it does not include them, then that is what we should take as metaphor or majaz. Why does he say that? It's because
يقول لأن العمل لا يخرج عن الإيمان إلا إذا كان مقرونا باسم الإسلام أو مقرونا بكلمة العمل مثل آمن وعمل الصالحات وهنا يخرج العمل الصالح
Works are not taken out of faith except if they're mentioned in the context. So it's conditional. It's only when it's mentioned in relation to the word Islam or the word amal or works. So when you want to have a basic point, basically, it's better to use things that are more common and consider those things the basic point and consider everything else to be metaphorical or not to be taken seriously or majaz. That's better than going for the few cases that are the exception and considering them the basic point, and then looking at everything else and considering that metaphorical.
المحمول يعني من تحسين الكلام الى حقيقه ومجال. فقد تجد يعني انتم على اصطلاحكم ان الاستعمال الحقيقي هو الذي يفهم من اللفظ عند اطلاقه بدون اقتران بشيء اخر، واما الاستعمال المجازي فهو الذي يحتاج الى قرينه. يعني مثلا لفظ الاسد كما نستخدم عندما نقول رايت اسدا يتجه الى المعنى الحقيقي طالما لم تقرنه بقرينه.
Now, when we use words, for example, going back to the lion example, if you say I saw a lion, the first thing that comes to mind is a real lion. Now, if you mentioned, like, I've seen a lion riding a horse, then because you mentioned the word riding a horse, then we can think of it as something else than a real lion. Now, the same thing goes for Iman and Islam, or Iman and Amal al-Salih. So, when we say Iman, when we say the word Iman alone, the same thing goes for lion. Iman would mean everything, would include everything. When the word Iman is mentioned and it's followed by something that would indicate that it's a little different than what we're used to regarding the meaning of Iman. For example, by saying, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, those who have kept faith and did good works, then that would indicate that the use of Iman here is a majaz use or a metaphorical use. Now the second argument,
لأن العمل الظاهر هو فرع عن الباطن وموجب له ومقتضى, لكن هل هو داخل في مسمى الاسم وجزء منه أو هو لازم للمسمى في الشرط المفارق والموجب الدائم. هنا يقول يعني الرد الثاني عليهم, يقول يعني لا نزاع بيننا وبينكم أن العمل الظاهر يعني فرع عن
that the visible works are a consequence of faith, of what's in the heart. So there's no argument between us, or there's no disagreement that works of worship are a result of what's in the heart. But the difference is it part of faith as a name, the name of faith? Is our works a part of faith? Or is it just a consequence and faith is a separate thing?
مثلا الصلاة لها شروط مثل استقبال القبلة والطهارة من الحدث والنجس وستر العورة وكذا, هذه الشروط ليست جزءا من الصلاة وإنما هي شروط مفارقة للصلاة, ليست من أجزاء الصلاة.
Now the Murji'a say that the visible works are not, as we mentioned several times before, are not parts of faith, but they are conditional for faith to be true. So they say that for example, they say that when you pray, you have to do wudu. If you don't do wudu, your prayer is false. Now, is wudu part of salah? No. That's their point of view. So they say that works are not parts of faith in and of itself, but it's the it's one of the conditions whereby you can judge that someone is faithful or not.
أو يجعلونها من التوابع يعني مما يتبع الإيمان ويترتب عليه موجبات الإيمان. طيب قال ومن المعلوم هنا نتكلم عن الأسماء الشرعية والدينية كاسم الصلاة والزكاة والحج ونحو ذلك هي باتفاق الفقهاء اسم لمجموع الصلاة الشرعية والزكاة الشرعية والحج الصلاة
means when you say the word salah, it means the formal Islamic way of worshiping, and it's not meant as the linguistic meaning, because the linguistic meaning of salah is dua or supplication. However, salah in Islam is the salah that we know, doing the rak'at, standing up, bowing, prostrating.
ثم ذكر يعني أن بعض يعني بعض المرجئة يعني قالوا إنما زاده الشارع إنما هو زيادة في الحكم وشرط فيه لا داخل في الاسم، كما قال ذلك القاضي أبو بكر بن الطيب الباقلاني رحمه الله، يعني هذا من أئمة الأشاعرة، ويقول إيه، يقول إن الصلاة شرعا هي الدعاء.
Now some of the murji'a say that salah really is supplication. But it has the conditions of prostrating and bowing and standing up and all the things that we do in order to consider salah acceptable. So those murji'a say that salah is not really the act of doing it. Salah basically is supplication, but you have to come up with these things: the prostration, ruku' and standing up, etc., in order for it to be acceptable. An example of those who say that is Al-Qadi Abu Bakr ibn Tayyib and a few others.
قال فقولهم مرجوح عند الفقهاء وجماهير المنسوبين الى
العلم،
ولهذا كان الجمهور من اصحاب الائمه الاربعه على خلاف هذا القول.
And that's why the majority of scholars did not consider that a valid point. They said that salah or prayer simply is to pray like we pray, doing standing up and bowing and prostrating, etc. And that is in and of itself salah, and that's that applies to everything else. For example, Hajj or pilgrimage. Linguistically, the word Hajj means to head somewhere, to head anywhere, to go in any direction is called Hajj. However, in Sharia and in Islam, Hajj is to perform Hajj like we know how, like we know the way it's done. And the same goes for Psalm. Psalm, the word Psalm means to refrain from anything. But in Sharia, Psalm means what we are used to, not eating or drinking sunrise or dawn to sunset, etc.
الحقيقة الشرعية يعني فيها بعض الشروط الزائدة على الحقيقة اللغوية. شيخ الإسلام رد على هذا الكلام.
شيخ الإسلام
أولا قول يعني مخالف لما عليه جمهور يعني أتباع الأئمة الأربعة، وهذا ليس بالصحيح، وأن الحقيقة الشرعية تختلف عن الحقيقة اللغوية.
شيخ الإسلام says that This, just to say that salah, for example, is actually a supplication, or that psalm is actually refraining, or in Sharia is refraining, just like it is linguistically, that goes against the majority of the scholars. Whoever they follow, the followers of all four major imams disagree with that.
هذه تكون شروطا وتوابع وكذا ليس في الحقيقة الإيمان. فهو رد عليه في هذه الجزئية. قال فإذا قال قائل
Now, if someone says,
إن اسم الإيمان إنما يتناول مجرد ما هو تصديق وأما كونه تصديقا لله تعالى وملائكته وكتبه ورسله
And the fact that it includes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and believing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His messengers and books, etc., are only conditions in order for Iman to be true, but it's, they're not part of Iman.
كونه تصديق بالله ورسله وكذا هذا ايضا من الشروط يعني لم يجعله حتى كون الايمان هو التصديق بالله وملائكته ورسله
So even when it comes to Iman itself, what's in the heart itself, they say that Iman in Sharia is the same as Iman in language, which is simply just to believe. And in order to make it complete, you have to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a condition for that Iman to be acceptable, just like Salah is not acceptable without wudu. Now, Shaykh al-Islam is replying to that by saying He's saying that that argument is even weaker than the argument that takes works outside of faith. I mean, it's weaker as in much fewer scholars have used that argument. The vast majority of scholars said that Iman in religion is to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His messengers and all that we have to believe in plus doing good
works. ومن صلى فقرأ وركع وسجد يعني يريد أن يقول إن عطف العمل على الإيمان دائما من فجد المرجئة في إخراج العمل من الإيمان يحتجون بقوله تعالى الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات يقولون عطف العمل على الإيمان فدل على أن العمل يعني خارج
Now,
عن الإيمان
the argument that the Murji'a always use to fortify their argument is when they say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always says in the Quran الَّذِينَ أَمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ those who have kept faith and did good deeds which appears to mean that keeping faith is different than doing good works or that it's doing good works is not included in the definition of faith However,
قال قائل من صلى فقرأ وركع وسجد فالقراءة والركوع والسجود هنا عطفت على الصلاة وهي
However, it is known in language that you can say you can after the word and you can include something that was part of what was before and for example, you can say I prayed and I prostrated and I bowed. Now prostration and bowing is part, are both parts of prayer. But yet I use the word and it doesn't really create any conflict. It doesn't really mean that prostrating and bowing are separate from praying.
الصيام شرعا لا يكون الا بالايمان والاحتساب. لكن هنا ايه يعني افرد الايمان والاحتساب ليس افرادهما بمعنى ان الصيام يمكن ان يتصور ان يكون صياما شرعيا بدون الايمان والاحتساب. وقال من حج هذا البيت فلم يرفث ولم يفسق رجع من ذنوبه كيوم ولدته. قال الرفث هو الجماع الذي هو الجماع يفسد الحج والفسوق ينقص ثوابه. فهو الحج شرعا هو الخالي من الرفث، ولكن هنا عطف ايه يعني حج فلم يرفث. ليس معنى هذا ان عدم الرفث هذا شيء اخر ليس من الحج وكذا، وانما
The same goes for pilgrimage. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, for example, says, he who performs pilgrimage and does not say anything offensive while doing Hajj, etc. Now, this not saying anything offensive is not separate from Hajj. It's part of Hajj not to say anything that offends anybody during the act of pilgrimage. And that also, in another way, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, for example, or
ثم ذكر يعني حديث خمس صلوات كتبهن الله على العبد في اليوم والليلة من حافظ عليهن كان له عهد عند الله أن يدخله الجنة ومن لم يحافظ عليهن لم يكن له عند الله عهد إن شاء عذبه وإن شاء غفر له.
An example, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم mentioned in a hadith about five prayers, saying that they are mandatory, and then he said that keeping their times, he said, and keeping their times. Now, this does not mean that keeping their times is separate from doing them, because doing prayer correctly includes to keep the correct time and to perform the prayer at the right time that it should be performed. Yet it was mentioned with the separation of the word and between the between keeping time and praying. So just because there is a word and between two things, it doesn't mean that one of them does not include the other. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and make sure to perform your prayers and the middle prayer. Now, the Salat al-Wusta, the middle prayer, or the prayer of Asr, is one of the prayers. We know that it is the middle prayer, and it's one of the prayers that we perform every day. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he used and a Salat al-Wusta, that does not mean that Salat al-Wusta is separate from the rest of the prayers.
قال نزلت لما أخرت العصر عام الخندق قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ملأ الله أجوافهم وقبورهم نارا كما شغلونا عن الصلاة الوسطى حتى غابت الشمس. رواه البخاري ومسلم. ثم بعد ذلك استطراد يعني الشيخ الإسلام رحمه الله لما جاء الحديث عن المحافظة على الصلوات وهي أداء الصلوات في وقتها. المحافظة على الصلوات وهي أداء الصلوات في وقتها. فجاء هنا يعني
شيخ الإسلام elaborated in depth about the issue of keeping prayer times.
يعني عندما الصواب أن من قال يعني إن تارك الصلاة يكفر أن المقصود بهذا من ترك هذه المرة وليس
الشيخ الإسلام saying that those who are lenient about the times of praying and they leave and they just let the prayer go beyond its time and then pray it later, they're not considered apostates for doing that. Apostasy is for those who leave praying altogether and they stop praying at all.
لكنه يدل على أن تارك المحافظة عليها لا يكفر. بعض الناس استدلوا بأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأصحابه أخروا صلاة العصر في غزوة الخندق حتى خرج وقتها.
However, one time Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions, one time they held off Salat al-Asr because of a battle that they were going through. And they performed it after its time. Now some people say that this is evidence that not praying is not apostasy. Shaykh al-Islam is saying that this is not a strong point because they didn't leave praying altogether. They prayed it eventually and they had a reason to postpone it. They had a really strong reason.
قيل له يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ألا نقاتلهم؟ قال لا ما صلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أخبر أنه سيأتي بعده يخرجون الصلاة عن
said that after he dies, some rulers will come forth and will change the times of
prayer,
which did come to pass. Now his companions, when he mentioned that, his companions asked him, Should we fight them for that? Rasulullah says no, because they eventually do pray. So they're not considered
apostates.
Ibn Mas'ud, for example, was asked,
إخراج الصلاة عن وقتها هو إضاعة الصلاة وأنه لا يكفر به ولكن يكون ممن أضاع الصلاة.
Said that whoever lets prayer time pass is not an apostate for doing that, but he is a sinner.
هذا كان يعني استطرادا من يخرج.
And this was a tangential point really.
أنه يدخل في الاسم المطلق أمور كثيرة وإن كانت تخص بالذكر. والمقصود هذا خلاصة يعني ما يستفاد من ما سبق أن الاسم المطلق يدخل فيه أمور كثيرة يعني اسم الصلاة يدخل فيه أمور كثيرة.
One word can include a lot of things. For example, the word pray includes prostrating and bowing and standing up, etc. However, those particular things within salah can sometimes be mentioned after salah with the word and in between, and that would not mean that they're separate from salah. For example, when you say, when Allah says, "Hafidha salati wa salati wa," or keep your prayers and the middle prayer, it does not mean that the middle prayer is not part of our daily prayers. It's not something separate or extra. It's part of it. And then now he moves on to a different discussion. The summary of which, if the Murji'ah say that works are not parts of faith, but the works are conditional for faith to be true. So he's asking them, What do you mean by saying that works are not parts of faith? They say that works are conditions for faith to be acceptable.
ففي هذه الحالة قال يلزم من عدم هذا الظاهر عدم الباطل. قال فإذا اعترفت بهذا كان النزاع لفظي. يعني هو يناقش المرجئ يقول لو ماذا تقصد بأن العمل من لوازم الإيمان.
And so if a person, if a murji, says that faith is not, it cannot be imagined without works, and if works are not present, then faith cannot be present, then if that's what you say, then our disagreement is a disagreement of nomenclature. It's a disagreement of semantics. Because eventually the result is the same. The people of Sunnah and Jama'ah say that you can't be faithful without works, and the Murji'ah in that particular case would be saying that if you don't do good works, it means that your faith is that your faith cannot exist. Now, however, however, if that murji'ah says, saying that you can have complete faith but show what is contrary to that,
يعني أما إذا قلت بما يقوله جهم وأصحابه من أن
that will go against what you yourself say, that that works are consequences of faith,
ويترك جميع الواجبات الظاهرة.
Which, I mean, and this is simple logic. I mean, if like for example, Jahm ibn Safwan, he says that, or he said that you can have complete faith and not do any good works, and you still be a faithful person. Or you can do dreadful things, dreadful sins, like prostrating for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, etc. But as long as you have faith in your heart, quote unquote, then you're okay. Now, he's saying that if this is what you believe, and at the same time you say that works are consequences or results of faith, then those two points contradict each other very clearly.
هو من لوازم الإيمان ثم تقول يتصور أن يكون الإنسان مؤمنا إيمانا كاملا بدون عمل يقول هذا تناقض فالآن أمامك أحد اختيارين يقول المرجع أمامك أحد اختيارين إما أن تقول أن العمل من لوازم الإيمان بمعنى أن الإيمان لا يتصور بدونه وفي هذه الحالة تكون قد وافقتنا وإني خالفتنا لفظا وافقتنا في المعنى الذي نريد أن نصل إليه وإذا قلت أن العمل من لوازم الإيمان لكن يمكن أن يتصور إيمان تام في القلب وليس معه شيء من العمل وكذا ففي هذه الحالة أصبحت موافقا لجهل وأصبحت متناقضا مع نفسك كل عمل من لوازم الإيمان بس ممكن يوجد الإيمان.
So basically this is what we say to a person who is a follower of the Murji'ah. We say if what you're saying is that faith is an essential consequence, works are an essential consequence of faith, and without works we can't imagine that you have faith, then our difference is only a difference in semantics. Now, however, if you say that faith has nothing to do with works, but at the same time you say that works are consequences of faith, then those two points contradict each other very clearly.
وإذا علم لم يدل عدمه على العدم وهذا حقيقة قولك وهو أيضا خطأ عقلا كما هو خطأ شرعا يقول شيخ الإسلام يعني بعد أن خير المرجئ يعني في اختيارين قال له حقيقة قولك يعني
شيخ الإسلام
ويصوب للمرجئ يعني مراده ويبين له يقول حقيقة قول المرجئة أن العمل الظاهر ليس وإن زعموا أنهم لوازم الإيمان لكن في الحقيقة هم يعني يريدون أن يقولوا إن العمل يعني قد يدل على وجود الإيمان إذا وجد العمل فكان
الشيخ الإسلام is saying that what they're really trying to say, the Murji'ah, what they're really trying to say is that
العمل هذا ظاهر لكن يقولون هو يعني قرينة إذا رأينا إنسانا يصلي ويصوم وكذا هم عندهم هذا ليس من الإيمان لكن يدل على أن هذا الإنسان مؤمن بقلبه. وإذا انتفى العمل قال إن عدمه لا يدل على العدم. يعني هم يقولون إذا انتفى العمل
فلا
يدل هذا عند المرجئة على انتفاء الإيمان.
And if you don't do any works, then that does not mean that you don't have any faith. That's what they're saying.
يعمل عملا صالحا وكذا لكن قد يكون مؤمنا بقلبه بدون العمل. فإذا هم إيه عندهم أن العمل إذا وجد يدل على ماذا؟ يدل على وجود الإيمان.
So to them, they say that if you have good works, then that means that you have faith. But the opposite is not true to them. If you don't have works, it does not mean that you don't have faith. But Shaykh Islam is saying that this is false logically and false Islamically.
وذلك أن هذا ليس بدليل قطع.
And that's because
كان العمل الظاهر دليلا على الإيمان القلبي. فقال هذا ليس دليلا قطع.
Visible works are not conclusive. Are not definitely conclusive of what's of having good faith. Because we know the famous example of hypocrites. Hypocrites show on the outside that they pray and they do good things. But they don't have faith on the inside. So this first, the first part of your premise is false.
فإنه يبقى دليلا في بعض الأمور المتعلقة بدار الدنيا كدلالة اللفظ على المعنى وهذا حقيقة قوله. يعني هو إيه يصوب للمرجئ يعني حقيقة قوله يقول له حقيقة قوله أن الأعمال الصالحة الظاهرة يعني دليل على وجود الإيمان لكنه ليس دليلا قاطعا وإنما هو دليل يتعلق بأحكام الدنيا أننا سنعامله معاملة المؤمن في الدنيا لكن قد يكون في قلبه إيمان وقد لا يكون كذلك لأن يكون منافقا فلا يكون له حكم المؤمنين في الآخر. قال فيقال لك فلا يكون ما يظهر من الأعمال لا ثمرة للإيمان الباطن ولا موجبا له ولا من مقتضاه وذلك أن المقتضي لهذا الظاهر إن كان هو نفس الإيمان الباطن لم يتوقف وجوده على غيره فإن ما كان معلولا للشيء وموجبا له لا يتوقف على غيره بل يلزم من وجوده وجوده. أخي الكلام رحمه الله يعني يقول هنا شيخ الإسلام رحمه الله
شيخ الإسلام
يقال للمرجئ إنه على معتقد إخراج العمل من الإيمان لا يصح لك أن تقول إن المرجئة يعتقدون أن العمل لازم من لوازم الإيمان. قال لأنه لو كان لازم من لوازم الإيمان لكانت إيه علاقته مثل علاقة العلة في المعلول يعني إذا وجد الإيمان وجد العمل وإذا انتفى الإيمان انتفى العمل.
That we can't really say that the murji'a consider that consider faith consider works to be an essential consequence of faith because if it's so essential for faith to be present then it has to be part of faith.
ولا يوجد الإيمان كما هو في حالة المنافق كما هو في حالة المنافق. إذا يقولون يعني يقول شيخ الإسلام هنا إذا هذا معناه
This means that, according to what the Murji'a say, those good works can
and
this is not according to Murji'a, this is according to the people of Sunnah Jama'ah. The good works can be a result of faith or a result of hypocrisy.
فقال يعني إذا إيه يعني أمكن هنا إيه أن يكون اللي هو العمل الظاهر من موجب ذلك الغلط وغير الإيمان وأمكن أن يكون موقوفا عليهما جميعا يعني يوجد من الإيمان وغير معا في نفس الوقت وهذا الغير وغير الإيمان إما أن يستقل بالإيمان أو يشارك الإيمان يعني أن العمل الظاهر قد يوجد بسبب الإيمان وقد يوجد بسبب آخر وإما أن يوجد يعني لكل واحد منهما مستقلة أو أنه يحتاج إلى وجود شيئين معا يعني سببين معا ليوجد العمل الظاهر. خلاصة يعني هذا
And now, Shaykh Islam is saying again
إخراج المرجئة للعمل عن الإيمان
that
يعني قول باطل شرعا وباطل عقلا
that excluding works from the definition of faith is false Islamically.
لا يلتزمون بما يترتب على هذا الادعاء.
And those murji'a don't bear the consequences of what they say. They don't really deal with the things that can be concluded logically if we assume that what they're saying is true.
وقال الله تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا جاءكم المؤمنات مهاجرات فامتحنوهن الله أعلم بإيمانهن فإن علمتموهن مؤمنات فلا ترجعوهن إلى الكفار. هنا الله سبحانه وتعالى يأمر
الله سبحانه وتعالى in the Quran ordered the Mu'mineen that when they when faithful women come to Medina from Mecca running away from the pagans
إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن لا يقبله عنده وأن يرده يعني يرده إلى قومه وأن لا يقبله عنده في المدينة. فحصل أن أسلمت بعض المؤمنات، وهنا يعني عندما أسلم أبو بصير وأبو جندل وكذا ردهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في زمن بالشر، لكن لما أسلم بعض المؤمنات وجئنا مهاجرات إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنزل الله تعالى هذه إذا جاءكم المؤمنات مهاجرات
Declaring that they're faithful, and they come to the Muslims in Medina, Allah tells Rasulullah to test them, to test their faith, and to make sure that it's really that they came really out of faith. And not to, for example, visit a relative or to spy against the Muslims.
أما لو سئلت واتضح أنها هاجرت لسبب آخر
أو في أي other reason
فهنا ترد إليه ترد إلى الكفار مرة أخرى أما إذا كانت
Otherwise, they are returned back to the kufar if it's if it has not been proven that they are faithful.
استثنى هذا من الشرط الذي اشترطه المشركون على المسلمين في سنة الحديبية أن لا يردوا من جاءهم. فهنا الشاهد من الآية يقول فدل ذلك على أن مجرد إظهار الإسلام لا يكون دليلا على الإيمان في الباطن، إذ لو كان كذلك لم تحتج المهاجرات التي جئن مسلمات
Now this
إلى
is proof
الامتحان
that,
وكان
just
العمل
saying,
دليلا قاطعا على الإيمان الباطن لكانت الهجرة إلى
that just doing good works is not in and of itself a definitive indicator that someone is faithful. That's why if they just come over and say La ilaha illallah, that was not considered enough. And that's why Rasulullah was told to test them.
يعني أبرز الأعمال الصالحة الظاهرة لا تكفي وحدها.
And this is in that particular situation because there was a treaty between Rasulullah صلى الله عليه
وسلم
and the Kufar saying that whoever comes to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم from Mecca to turn them back.
أنه بالامتحان والاختبار يتبين باطن الإنسان فيعلم أهو مؤمن أم ليس به. بالاختبار يتبين أن الإنسان أظهر هذا العمل الصالح فعلا بذات الإيمان أو أنه أظهره بسبب الرعاية. قال كما في الحديث المرفوع إذا رأيتم الرجل يعتاد المساجد فاشهدوا له بالإيمان. إذا رأيتم الرجل يعتاد المساجد فاشهدوا له بالإيمان. رواه الترمذي وابن ماجه وروى الإمام أحمد في مسنده. يعني هذا الحديث في الحقيقة يعني في السنة دي ضعف، ولكن يعني من جهة المعنى يعني يقال إنه ليس شهادة لمعين ولكن شهادة على سبيل العموم، يعني الذين يعتادون المساجد يقتادونها ويواظبون على الصلاة فيها فهؤلاء يشهد لهم بالإيمان على سبيل العموم، لكن ليس المعنى أننا نشهد بشهادة.
There's another hadith Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم says whoever you see coming to the masjid frequently, then say that he is faithful, or say that he is mu'min. Now we say that this is not to name certain people, that this person by name is faithful because he comes to the masjid frequently. We just say, as a general rule, those who come to the masjid frequently are faithful.
قال فإن قيل الأعمال الظاهرة تكون من موجب الإيمان تارة ومن موجب غيره تارة كالتكلم بالشهادتين تارة يكون من موجب الإيمان من موجب إيمان القلب وتارة يكون للتقية كإيمان المنافق. قال الله تعالى ومن الناس من يقول آمنا بالله واليوم الآخر وما هم بمؤمنين. ونحن إذا قلنا هو من ثمرة الإيمان إذا كانت صادرة عن إيمان القلب لا عن نفاق. هنا الآن إيه؟ يعني كأن الشيخ الإسلام رحمه الله يعني كأنه يحاول
الإسلام
ويناقشه فضيق عليه في مسألة يعني علاقة العمل بالإيمان، فيقول بين له الشيخ الإسلام أن العمل الظاهر قد يدل على الإيمان الباطن وقد لا يدل عليه.
After Sheikh Islam said that visible works are not an indicator of what's inside. And now the Murji'ah say that good works are conditions for faith if they come from faith. However, if it comes out of hypocrisy, then it's not a condition of faith.
فقال اذا هم يعني يمكن ان نقول ان المرجئه يقولون ان العمل الصالح لا لازم من لوازم الايمان اذا كان هذا العمل صادرا عن الايمان، واما اذا كان صادرا عن نفاق وتقيه فلا يكون هذا العمل من لوازم الايمان. فكيف يرد الشيخ الاسلام؟ قال قيل
فاذا
كانت صادره عن ايمان إما أن يكون نفس الإيمان
if those good works are coming out of faith.
وإما أن يقف على أمر آخر، فإن كان نفس الإيمان موجبا لها يعني العمل الصالح صادر عن الإيمان، إما أن يكون الإيمان هو الذي أوجب وجود هذا العمل وإما
those good works
أوجبه
can either be coming out of faith or coming out of
something else. فإن كان نفس الإيمان موجبا لها
if it's faith that resulted in them
معلولة له لا تنفك عنه وهذا هو المطلوب.
Then we know that those works are tied together with faith.
بسبب جعلها ثمرة في الجزء الآخر ومعلولة له.
However, if they're stemming from something else,
نقنع المرجئة به ونوصلهم
okay.
إليه
going back
يعني
again.
جزء لا ينفك عنه.
Now, المرجئة may say that
العمل الصالح حتى لو له سبب آخر لكن لا يكون عملا صالحا
that these good works
صادرا عن الإيمان.
They may say that good works are a result of faith as long as faith is there.
جزء من العلة.
And they may be a result of hypocrisy if faith isn't there. He says that even in that case, even if they say that, if they say that good works are parts of faith, if faith is present, then that's their original argument, and we have refuted that already.
إلى أن قال يعني وبهذا وغيره تبين فساد قول جهم والصالحي ومن اتبعهما في الإيمان كالأشعري بأشعر هؤلاء وطائفة من متأخري أصحاب أبي حنيفة كالنافذ إليه ونحوه حيث جعلوا مجرد تصديق في القلب تساوى فيه العباد حيث جعلوه يعني يقول شيخ الإسلام رحمه الله بهذا يتبين الإسلام
saying
قول
this is how we see the false the falsehood of the Jahmiya and Ash'ara and Maturidiyya when they say that faith is only the belief in the heart and it has nothing to do with the works. And according to them, this faith that you have, that people have in their hearts, can't be less or more. People are all the same in that amount of faith.
وإما أن يوجد لا يتبعض
and they either have it all or have none of it
فإما أن ينعدم الإيمان بالمرة وإما أن يوجد الإيمان كاملا تماما لكن لا يتصور أن يوجد بعض الإيمان ويذهب بعض على كلام الأشاعرة والماتريدية وأنه يمكن وجود الإيمان تاما في القلب مع وجود التكلم بالكفر.
And they also say that you can be faithful in your heart and say dreadfully sinful things against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or against His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
فلأن ذلك مستلزم عدم ذلك التصديق الذي في القلب.
And what they also say is that if certain things are described to lead to apostasy if you say them, that's not because they in and of themselves are apostasy, but it's because they indicate the lack of faith. In the heart. And so according to them, you can be completely faithful without having any good works on the outside. And again, he replies to them he's going back to replying to them again, saying that first they have taken away loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fearing Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the works of the heart, they've taken those out of faith.
And secondly,
they made certain characters that were declared kuffar, for example, the devil and Fir'aun, they consider them to be kuffar because according to what they say, if we assume that what they say is true, and that kufr is disbelieving or not believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then according to that argument, we have to consider that the devil is mu'min because the devil knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists and he talked to him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there is no. So that point is not valid either. Now, they also claim that you can swear against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or say a lot of things that are considered apostasy in and of themselves, but still be mu'min inside, which is false.
ولا أطاع الله طاعة ظاهرة مع وجود ذلك عليه وقدرته عليه قد يكون مؤمنا بالله
what they've also done is claim that those who don't do any works of faith
والوجه الرابع انه قد لا يتكلم بكلمات الايمان ولا يعمل عملا من اعمال الايمان ويكون
the person may not do any good works at all but still be a complete mu'min and be and go to jannah and all these awful things are particularly they particularly apply to the Jahmiyyah in particular
بالنسبة لهذا لأنهم يشتركون الإقرار يعني مرجعة الفقهاء يقولون لا يتصور
مرجعة الفقهاء
أن يكون الإنسان
are a different kind of مرجعة they say that
لكن الجهمية عندهم قد يكون مؤمنا
they say that you have to believe and you have to say with your tongue the shahadatain however the Jahmiyyah say that you don't have to say the shahadatain
قالوا إن العبد قد يكون مؤمنا تام الإيمان إيمانه مثل إيمان الأنبياء والصديقين
Now another consequence of what the Murji'ah is saying
لا صلاة ولا صلة ولا صدق حديث ولم يدع كبيرة إلا رفضه فيكون الرجل عنده إذا حدث كذب وإذا وعد أخلف وإذا ابتدن خان وهو مصر على الكذب والخيانة ونقض العهود العهود لا سجد لله سجدة ولا يحسن إلى أحد حكم إلى آخره من قبل من كذب وظلم وكذا وفاحشة وإيمانه مثل إيمان الأنبياء وإيمان الصديقين الإيمان عندهم شيء واحد
And because they say that people are the same in the faith that they have in their hearts, then according to that, the faith of anybody who does all kinds of sin is the same as the faith of the messengers and the prophets, which is obviously false.
قال وهذا يلزم كل من لم يقل إن الأعمال الظاهرة من لوازم الإيمان الباطن نفس الوجه الخامس كل هذا الكلام يعني نلزم به من قال إن الأعمال الظاهرة ليست من لوازم الإيمان الباطن فإذا قال إنها من لوازم
Now, if the Murji'ah say that that the good works are an essential consequence of good faith, then our difference between us and them is only a difference of semantics.
لا يتصور أن يكون الإنسان مؤمنا بدون عمل صالح أو مع تلفظه لكلمة الكفر أو مع فعل كذا أو كذا فقد ففي هذه الحالة يصبح نزاعنا مع هذا الفريق الذي يقول العمل ليس من الإيمان ولكنه من لوازمه يكون نزاعا لفظيا في الحقيقة هذه المسألة يعني
And this particular point is the is the conflict here a semantic conflict or is it a real conflict? Some scholars like Sheikh Al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah say it's only a semantic conflict, and some other scholars say that no, it's a real conflict with a lot of consequences.
وهو تارك للعمل به قال وسادسها انه يلزمه ان من سجد للصليب والاوثان طوعا والقى المصحف في الحش عند
another consequence of what they say the Murji'ah say
وسفك دم كل من رآه يحج
that a person who prostrates to the cross and kills people who pray and does all forms of awful things can still be considered faithful just like any other faithful person and enjoy the same reward on the day of judgment just like any other faithful person and this is patently false
معه فلا يكون وجودها دالا على عدم الإيمان الباطل إلى آخر يعني كلامه إلى أن قال يعني رحمه الله وهذه الأمور كلها إذا تدبرها المؤمن بعقله تبين له أن
مذهب السلف
هو المذهب الحق
you'll see clearly that the way of the pious predecessors is the true right way, and that everything that deviated from that is false and misguided. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows better.
الأقوال الأخرى التي أخرجت العمل من الإيمان يلزمها لوازم يعني فاسدة وبين
أن so كل in summary, again, he says that everything that goes against what the pious predecessors have understood must have bad consequences because it's false. Any questions? One of the sisters is asking, can you use flavored miswak during Ramadan? The Sheikh says that if that flavor is not swallowed, just like tasting food while preparing it without swallowing, then that's okay. But if it's swallowed, then that flavor is a substance that will go down your throat, and so and that will. And that will abrogate your fast, or it will make it unacceptable. Allah a'lam. And of course, that's if the flavor is added to miswak. However, the natural flavor of the miswak itself is okay. We're talking about the additional flavors that are artificially added to miswak. But as we know, miswak naturally has its own flavor, and that's okay. صلى الله عليه وسلم.